WRPQ Bearaver, 279 EG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. A few announcements before we get started. Our liturgist this morning is Barb Sprecher. Thank you. Radio sponsor this morning are Irm and Deb Chudy, in memory of Emil, Martha, and Alvin Chudy, Dale and Anna Mae Dennis, and Peter and Dominic Giacomino. Debbie told me how to say that. Big thanks to everybody who came to our Pack Hunger event. If you would like to sponsor a radio broadcast, and this is important, we have people who listen faithfully on the radio every week. There are no spots left for 2024. And you can be on the ball with 2025. They are $90 a week. And thank you to everyone who does this. Just contact the church office. After church today, we have adult ed. We'll talk about being peacemakers. And then on November 17th, after church, we will discuss the book of Job and why bad things happen. And some mobile meals delivery October 28th and November 4th, those weeks. Next Sunday, we are going to observe All Saints Sunday. So we will remember people we love and have lost. So if you would like to remember someone on our All Saints celebration, just come, be prepared to say the names. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on the radio, contact the office with names you'd like said. You can also thank them, say them in your heart. We'll have a little altar as well if you'd like to bring a picture. Monday, November 4th, the church will be open from 6 to 8 p.m. if you would like to have some quiet prayer time before the election. Come in and get a little bit of quiet, a little bit of peace. It's been a long season. And whatever happens on Tuesday, when everyone should vote, if you haven't already, it won't be easy. Also, we have an ecumenical Thanksgiving service Wednesday, November 27th at 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Lutheran. There will be more details, but plan to come to that. All right. Any other super important announcements that I missed? All right. So welcome. And you'll notice once I start talking that I'm not doing our welcome statement. I like to mix it up. A little ADHD in me. Don't want to say the same thing every time. So we'll come back to it. But welcome this morning. Welcome if you haven't been here for a while, or if you were here four times this week. Welcome to the little, little kiddos and to the young at heart, or everybody in between. Welcome if you grew up in this church, or if you're new here. Welcome whomever you love. Whatever your abilities, whatever your background, you are welcome and beloved here. Let's take a few moments of silence to enter into this time and this space. Some deep breaths and let it out. God is here. We are beloved. God is here, and we are beloved.
If you would please stand, if you are able, and join me in the call to worship. We give thanks for the Holy Spirit, whose light brought new understanding of both living word and written scripture. We give thanks for the reminder of consistent grace from God through Jesus Christ. We are grateful for the inspiration that led to the printing press, enabling the sharing of the gospel in many languages. We thank God for technology that can be used for the good of your people. Generous God, we thank you for open hearts that were prepared to hear and receive the good news of freedom in Christ. We also thank you for our continued freedom to share that same good news through your grace and Christ's faithfulness. We remember also lives that have been lost through history in the name of religion. We thank you. We thank you for the wisdom that comes through our church heritage, theology, learning, the gift of community, sacraments.
We thank you for Christ
in us, with us, and for us, and for the Holy Spirit ever reforming us. God of stability and of change, we thank you that reformation is always your work and always happening. We are ever reformed by love. Semper Reformiata.
We are ever reformed by God's law. Semper Reformiata.
That was Christy, not Barb. And our opening hymn, and please stay standing if you're willing and able, is 454, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
Thank you. Please join me in a prayer of unburdening. Holy One, sometimes we forget that the universe, from the biggest galaxies to the tiniest particles, is dynamic, ever moving, ever shifting. We want things to stay comfortable, to stay the same, but not moving and changing means not living. Now hear God's promise. All creation was made for movement, for continuous change, for cycles of life and death, growing, declining, rebuilding, a mix of order and chaos. And within all that, the force of love flowing through the universe does not change. God's eternal presence within and around us will never diminish. We are beloved, for which we all say, without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you are hungry, even just curious, please come and eat. Today we are observing Reformation Sunday. It was just over 500 years ago that Martin Luther walked up the steps of a church in Wittenberg and nailed 95 theses to the door. We have observed communion for a very long time, thousands of years, knowing that this is Christ's table. And everyone is welcome at Jesus' table. He said that over and over in his life. And on his last night, the night he was betrayed, the night he was taken by the powers that be, he sat with his friends and he taught them. He told them to remember him, remember what his table had been like, remember what his teachings had been. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, love as he loved. He took bread and he broke the bread and he said, eat. Eat this bread, the bread of life is my body. I will be with you, in you, to the end of time. Remember who you are, and remember whose you are. He took a cup of wine, and he poured the wine. And he said, drink. Drink and remember me. Remember that I died for love. For love of you, for love of all of you. Drink and remember this gift, this grace. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pour out your presence on this bread, this wine, these gifts. May all who eat of them here today be fed. Fed with love, fed with food, with community, with the presence of God. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as your people, people of love, to gather at your table to be fed. In your name we pray. Amen. And now we have some kids' time. Do our kids want to come up? And it's okay if parents or grandparents come too, if somebody's nervous or little.
Oh my gosh, look at all of you. We have a lot of kids today in a lot of costumes. It's fun. All right. I wish I could go to Sunday school with you. See what you're all gonna do. Today we are talking in church after you go.
Hi.
Hi. About the Reformation. A long time ago, the Bible was written in different languages, called Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek, because they were languages people knew at the time. Everybody knew them. But after a while, nobody much knew those anymore. So people couldn't read the Bible anymore. Most people couldn't. Some of you are working on learning reading, and some of you are already there. But none of you could have read the Bible in Latin. In a church, there would be one person, only one person who could read the Bible and know what it said, and that would be me. I did take a couple years of Latin. I'm terrible at it. And then Martin Luther came along, and he said, well, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem fair to me. The Bible's for everybody. Church is for everybody. It's about everybody. And so he wrote it into German, which we still couldn't understand, but people in his time could. And then it got translated into English and all kinds of languages. And now the Bible is in every single language. And so many translations. I think in Sunday school, you read from a kid's Bible. That was not a thing that used to happen, but now it is. So we can all know what's in there. And some of it's beautiful, and some of it's kind of weird, and some of it's beautiful and weird. But we all get to know what God wants from us. Let's pray. Holy God, can you hold hands if you'd like, or not, because they're your hands and nobody gets to touch you if you don't want them to. I like to hold hands, so. Holy God, bless these kids. Help them to grow in wisdom and in faith, in love of you, love of their neighbors. May they know that they are beloved. May they see what is in that strange, wonderful book, and learn how to follow what you would want, not what everybody else wants. In your name we pray, amen. All right, now Sunday school, line up behind Mrs. McFarland and use your walking feet, and you can go, and if you don't want it, then you can come back, okay? Or somebody will go check on you.
Our reading is from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, There he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, for now the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard over our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossoms. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away."
A Christian scripture this morning from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." The young man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. We talk about the Holy Spirit in a lot of metaphors. She is fire, she is wind, she is breath. And as wind, every now and then she blows through and she messes everything up. She blows your hat off. Maybe the things that you are clutching very tightly, she blows out of your hands and they go flying down the street. The late theologian Phyllis Tickle wrote a book about how every 500 years or so, faith goes through a major transition. She compares it to a giant rummage sale. Every now and then, you have to pack up the things that you are not using anymore, the things that you don't need, that don't serve you well, and you send them away. And maybe you get some new things that work a little bit better, that fit who you are, what you need. Pack up some forms of spirituality that don't serve anymore. Every 500 years or so, it has been very close to 500 years since Martin Luther. It was right around Halloween. He nailed those 95 theses to the church doors. They are not lovely like our church doors or the new doors that we have coming. The church doors at the time were used as almost like a bulletin board. So he hung his 95 theses up to next to a little sign that said free kittens. And they made a big splash. So Phyllis Tickle said, right around now, we should be going through another really big, strange church transition. I think we can see that happening. She wondered what a postmodern church would look like. Martin Luther started the Protestant Reformation. People had tried before. There had been reformers. Either their reforms were incorporated into the church or they got killed. So he nailed these 95 discussion points to the door of a church because he believed that church had gotten off course, had strayed far from Scripture. Indulgences. The Catholic Church at the time sold indulgences. You could buy your way into forgiveness and into heaven. And Luther said, no. That's not in the book. He had 94 other ideas. So one monk, he was an Augustinian friar, against the whole tradition and influence of the Catholic Church. He didn't start out trying to start a Reformation. He wanted to fix some things. But there was resistance. His life was threatened. He was excommunicated, told to recant, and he said, I cannot say that indulgences are all right. I cannot. He said, here I stand. I can do no other. So he became part of this big protest movement. Word Protestant, it comes from protest. He's trying to steer Christianity in a better direction. And he did a lot of good. Life magazine named him the third most influential person of all time. Not totally sure how they decided that, but they did. He started the Protestant Reformation, lots of churches to choose from, planted seeds for public education. The printing press came out right at around the same time, and his teachings and printing exploded together. Translated the Bible into German and increased literacy. Because people read the Bible, they saw opportunities for liberation. He emphasized the Holy Spirit and the sense of spontaneity, that we are all the church. He wrote a lot of books and a lot of pages and a lot of hymns. Changed the way communion was done. At the time, it seemed like this magical thing that the priest did up front. It would say in Latin, hoc est corpus meum. This is my body. Hoc est corpus meum. which people heard as hocus pocus and thought something magical and weird was happening. They didn't get the "this is my body, it is for you," partly because they didn't get to take it all, just the bread. And he had some quirks. He was pretty anti-Semitic. The Nazis used some of his writings. He talked a lot about freedom, and he generally sided with power. He was fairly sexist. He did leave the monastery and got married. He was intelligent, he was flawed. He was full of pride and also compassion. He was a human being. So Reformation Sunday, we don't venerate him. We thank the spirit that makes things new. One of the slogans of the Reformation was, "The church is reformed and always reforming." We weren't supposed to stop 500 years ago. It's not that different from our UCC slogan. God is still speaking. God is still speaking. The church is still reforming. And sometimes, dear ones, we get this church stuff turned around. We think the church is for us. And we worry that maybe someday the church won't be here for us anymore. Except the church was never about us. The church is about God. The church is about doing God's work. Congregations in these times when churches are not as full as they used to be, and there are some churches that are not open anymore, congregations often try to hold on to the way things used to be, hoping that God's going to send a crowd back. During World War II, there was a Swiss Reformed theologian, Karl Barth. He's a big deal if you're a theology nerd. Just saying. And he said, also, "The church reformed always to be reformed according to the word of God." So this faith, this Reformation faith, it is forward-looking, it is evolving, it is at home in this world as we are now. We all know that one of the surest ways to get people mad at you is to change things that need to be changed. And Martin Luther said he could do no other. And that's still our challenge, right? The church is reformed and always reforming. It's different now than from when any of us were kids. It's different now than it was 5 years ago, 20 years ago. So what's happening now? And what can we do, and how can we build on it? Can you imagine what our pilgrim ancestors would have thought about us? We are open and affirming. They would have no idea. Maybe some of you have noticed, I'm a woman. And I'm up here. It would be surprising to them. Karl Barth, in the days leading up to World War II, saw that the German church had been Nazified. There were all these politics of hate, and some theologians stood against that, and a number did not. Quite a few did not. Instead of reforming, the church was conforming to anti-Semitism, to politics, to hatred. So some, including Barth, wrote a statement called the Barman Declaration, which is part of our UCC heritage. And it said, We reject the false doctrine that the church could have permission to hand over its message and its order to whatever it might itself wish or to the vicissitudes of the prevailing ideological and political convictions of the day. That was 1934. And still, we cannot hand the church over to prevailing ideologies. Sometimes I worry that the loudest, most public voices of Christianity are rejecting the actual teachings of Jesus. I heard a quote, and I tried to find it, and I have no idea who said it, so somebody said, "They act as if the Bible is the book of Leviticus and the book of Revelation, and they're taped around the Left Behind series." That wasn't Jesus. Russell Moore was a Southern Baptist, and he was a big deal. Many of you have heard of Russell Moore, right? He was high up in the Southern Baptist and very Southern Baptist. And yet he said, you know, Jesus talked about the poor. And actually, as a church, we're not supposed to be too involved in politics. And he was kicked out. Lost his position as president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist, lost his job at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he talks about discussing with other pastors the Beatitudes. And pastors would say in the Southern Baptist Church, they would preach on these, and people would say, yeah, you're just talking liberal stuff. Those are liberal talking points. And the pastors would say, I am quoting Jesus. And the response they would hear was, well, that doesn't work. We need a new Reformation, and it's in our time, if Phyllis Trickle was at all right. So, yes, we have that opportunity for everything to blow up and to put it back together. Our expressions of faith are always, always flawed. And we have to keep course correcting. It's like steering anything. You don't point in the right direction and then stop steering or stop watching. That's dangerous. Same with church. Martin Luther, Bart, so many others knew the future of the church depended on people who would look up, who would look around and see the road they were on, and think about where they were going. May we be such people. Amen. And our hymn is Amazing Grace. It is number 454.
I think I missed the memo. Are we doing all five verses?
As many as you want.
We'll do all five.
Through many dangers, Lord.
Now we have time to share prayers with God, who knows all things, and with our community. Are there any prayers to share today? And
I'd just like to thank everybody in the congregation that has expressed condolences. It's been an interesting 2 weeks for sure, but we're getting there. Thank you for your prayers and thoughts and your support. I appreciate it, and having First Church as a family certainly helps. Thank you.
I received a message from Teresa Grimes the other day, and let's keep in our prayers Lyle Kuno, along with his wife Dorothy and his children. Lyle is now in hospice care. Lyle's been sick for many years, so let's keep them in our thoughts and our prayers. And also, I have a happy moment to share. Watching all the people at the PAC event was really cool. We had a lot of fun. Right, Calissa. Right, Kelsey. We had a lot.
Asking that everyone keep Gary and Sandy Schlender in their prayers. Gary continues to make progress, so we're thankful for that, and they are very thankful for all of you.
We also pray for a friend and classmate of Steve and Christie's, whose wife has entered hospice. Pray for Marsha Ushkoff and her family. And Steve's mom's birthday is today. She's 86. Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers we hold in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for the family of Steve and Christy's friend in this hard journey, for Marsha and her family, for Lyle and Dorothy. Continue to pray for Gary and healing, and for Sandy and all their family. We give thanks for Denny and the beautiful music he brings us, and his friendship and his kindness. Holy God, we are glad to be able to be there for him in this time. And we give thanks for Steve's mom, for birthdays, for the PAC event and all of who showed up. For all these prayers and the prayers in our hearts, Holy God, hear us today. Amen. And let us pray as Jesus taught us. This one is from Holy Wisdom Monastery in Madison, but you can use whatever words are comfortable for you. We all learn this differently. Holy One, our only home, blessed be your name. May your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Feed us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. Do not forsake us at the test, but deliver us from evil. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. Amen. God invites us to share from our many, many blessings to build this beautiful church. Let us pray. Through the gifts that we have placed in these plates and the offerings that we give of our time and talents, we seek to grow the church, God. Let us continue to find creative ways to contribute. And may our still speaking God's call entice us to not only build, but reform Christ's church. Amen. We've had a number of pictures of reformers. Gustavo Gutierrez in the bottom left just passed away a few days ago. Liberation theologian and a huge impact on me. Thank God for all the reformers. And our song is 236, Hallelujah. This one's
through.
Yes, twice. So stay if you can come talk about peace. Also, we've got some coffee and things out here to eat. I also want to thank God for the sound of babies. There's some churches that don't get to hear that, where everything is quiet. And how dull is that? Let us pray. God, bless each and every one of us as we go out into your beautiful world. May we notice opportunities to make things better, more beautiful, more faithful, closer to Jesus' teachings. Be with us. Give us courage to reform, courage to love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.